Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard as we are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Awesome three-hour program lined up today. Legendary sports writer from the Boston Globe, Bob Ryan, in 30 minutes. Professional sports bettor Frank B. in studio for a full hour. Common mistakes made when betting the Super Bowl. He has a lot of storytelling to do, how he's approaching the big game, and Matt Moore on the NBA trade deadline from Action Network coming up in the final hour of the program. And Paulie, little did we know last night when that news broke that the Clippers and Cavaliers were discussing a James Harden deal for Darius Garland, that story would be buried a little bit more than 12 hours later, because the action has been fast and furious. The breaking news was coming in one right after another in the last half an hour or so leading up to the show, and the latest of which is a really nice move by Boston as they traded Anfernee Simons over to the Chicago Bulls for Vucevic, and that's going to help them shore up some of their big guy problems. They already have enough guards on the team, obviously, but then what could that mean potentially for Chicago? Their odds keep dropping, by the way, going the other way to land Giannis. But as our guest Matt Moore later on tweeted out, I think it was Matt actually, he said, if Oklahoma City lands Kobe White now, ... Like, that's the kind of guy that Oklahoma City absolutely has to bring in for the three-point shooting. Cason Wallace is not going to hit seven every game like he did Sunday night against Denver. But this is fat. The deal that happened between Memphis and Utah feels like 3 hours ago now.
Yeah.
And that was major.
Yep. So since Ja made his comments, I'm good in the West, they won one playoff series. And then his outlandish comments last year that I was figuring out OKC before I got hurt. They got swept in the first round, and he thought they were close. The GM disagreed, and now they are totally rebuilding. They're gonna move Ja. They traded Bain, and now they trade Jackson. What a job by Utah. Now Memphis has 12 first-round picks in the next seven drafts.
Mm-hmm.
So a total rebuild. They are now 20-1 to make the playoffs. They were only three games behind Portland when the day started, and they had a nice win last night, and your guy Jerome was good. But now trading a defensive player of the year and a guy that can score, big move for Utah, and total rebuild for Memphis. They're obviously going to miss the playoffs. Great move for the Celtics. You get a guy who's 17-10 in his career, a double-double machine in Vucevic. And I kept refreshing the other deal about what did the Timberwolves get here? Well, they didn't. They just moved off Conley's contract, is what they did to try to land Giannis and free up some money. They are now under the first apron, and they dropped their luxury tax bill from $24 million to $3.8 million as they continue their pursuit of Giannis as we get 2 days away from the deadline.
Yeah.
Keep it coming.
And by the way, their odds continue to go up to land Giannis, meaning that they're increasingly moving in their direction to get the guy as the minutes progress here, and the deadline is still 2 days away. They're almost at 30% now to get him. Now, this thing's been back and forth the last couple of days. The Bulls plummeted the other day. The Heat plummeted again today to turn into the favorite. I think it was at Kelce. And now it's Minnesota, who they're almost, who knows, by the end of this show, they might be 50-50 to bring him in after that move. The Jazz deal now on paper, like, you really have to like the Jazz and their roster moving forward, right? Because you're talking about George in the backcourt along with Bailey, Markkanen, who according to reports is super happy. Why would he not be? Now Jaren Jackson and then Kessler. But Kessler's out for the year, and the reports are coming out like, will the Jazz actually trade Kessler to a team that would want him this year because they don't need, I actually think I would keep him. But here's the deal. Like, they have 15 wins on the year. Their updated win total is 24.5. Their first round pick goes to Oklahoma City if it's not top eight protected. So they cannot. Great job here by Danny Ainge and Hardy putting this together moving forward. But down the stretch, they still have to tank. They can't win too many games. They got to keep their first round pick in 2026 because the draft is so loaded. So I looked at their win total to see what it was going to be like, and I thought, they can win 10 more games, but they don't have the incentive to win 10 more games this year. It's kind of like the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
The Cavaliers win total is 49.5. If they go out and get James Harden, What do they have, 30 right now? They can't win 20 more games the rest of the year. But also, would that be how long would it take the Cavaliers and Donovan Mitchell to get used to playing with James Harden if they bring him in? Like, could they go into the funk for a couple of days or a couple of weeks before they're, like, used to playing with each other?
Well, at least you have someone who can help you out. Garland can't even play.
Right.
He's got the bad toes, and he's been out since January 14th. So that's a bizarre trade. That's a trade, I think. And Dustin Sweetelson had a good point that he's nervous about Cavs' futures now because of Harden's track record in the playoffs. But they're in desperate mode because they want to keep Mitchell and have him extend after this year. So they're doing everything they can to compete, and they don't want to go out in the first or second round. But the Clippers are playing great ball, and now they might move off Harden. And Garland's not even going to play. He's been banged up, and I don't even want to expect from him. So that really hurts the Clippers if they make that trade. But that's wild if that deal would go through. And it sounded like, you know, he not only does he have a no-trade clause, he's got a 15% trade kicker on top of that. Mm-hmm. Oh, incredible job by his agent. And the other thing is, what exactly are the Bucks going to do here? Because the Heat, Wolves, and Knicks all can have better offers and will have better offers in the summer. The only team that can improve their offer is Golden State.
Right.
And now they're saying no Butler, and maybe they throw Draymond Green into the mix, and he's at peace with that decision as he can move on from the team and what they could do. But this is going to be a fantastic 48 hours here of what's going to happen, and maybe Minnesota can pull this off. Maybe they could do this and land Freak.
What would they have to give up in return? What's the haul that we're talking about here?
Young talent with a lot of picks.
Do the Bucks get McDaniels in return?
I would think he'd have to be in that too.
Yeah. I would think he has to be part of the package.
Yeah.
And we're talking, so think about this for a second. With this deal taking place today by Memphis and Utah, and Memphis got 3 first-round picks back for Jaren Jackson, the Memphis Grizzlies acquired 7 first-round picks for Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson. 7 for those two players. They're fine basketball players. They are not even on the same planet as Giannis Antetokounmpo. So if that team got 7 and players back for those two guys, the Bucks absolutely have to crush this thing. They can't settle.
Well, I know, but he's 31 and he gets hurt a lot.
Paul, there is no...
That's also a difference.
Come on.
You can't do that. The guy's injury prone. The other thing, too, is you're poo-pooing this Golden State deal. Those picks are in like 2030 and 2032. So there's no more Curry at that point. We are way down the road at that, but who knows what Golden State's organization even looks like at that point. So maybe you kind of walk into something there, and like it's a Brooklyn part two when with the Celtics-Boston trade, or it's like the Clippers and OKC, where the Clippers think they're getting the best of it. You, not only do you get SGA, you get all those picks, and then what's going to happen with the Clippers organization? But if you kick the can down the road and you're looking at first-round picks in 2020, 2030, 2031, 2032, there's no Curry. Who knows who's on the team at that point?
So that move would obviously be completely for the future then, because Draymond Green does nothing for your organization at all. He's done. He's pretty much finished.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like going, like, could he be a nice part like on a championship team? Sure. What does he offer the Milwaukee Bucks with no other talent around him, basically? Not much. So Giannis has never played fewer than 61 games in his career. He has been banged up. He misses games. There's also load management, but he's also, you know, a 30-point-per-game scorer, 12 rebounds a game, 6 assists, and he is quite simply put one of the best 5 players in the entire league. Now, I get it. I get it with the age, and you're going to have to give this guy a $275 million contract, mm-hmm. but these teams, it's funny money in the NBA, and they give, Ben Simmons got, what, $180 million?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Harden's going to want an extension, too.
That's going to be part of the gig.
I can't imagine the Cavs. I don't know if the Cavs want to do that. Here's another guy making, you know, $40 million a year, and it was a discount, what he's looking at, and cost himself some money. But he wants an extension. He probably wants his trade kicker, and then he has to sign off on where he's going to go. So that's convoluted.
According to Ramona Shelburne, Charlotte is now in the mix for Milwaukee. This is Brian Windhorst.
Yeah.
On our buddy show, Tony Rizzo, ESPN Cleveland, saying the Cavs are taking some huge swings.
The Cavs have talked to the Bucks about Giannis, and the Cavs have talked to the Mavericks about Anthony Davis. And the Cavs had talked, are obviously talking about James Harden, okay? And so this is why I started telling you a week ago that they're, like, trying for this big swing. And, you know, I can... There are trades that make these work. I do not think that it's likely that they're going to be able to execute those other deals, but they clearly do not believe that this team is good enough or suspect that this team is not good enough. And they clearly have decided that they're willing to seriously consider breaking up their core. And when they came to those decisions, they went gigantic big game hunting.
How about that?
Yeah, look at Rizzo, like a kid in the candy store.
Oh, they're both stunned.
I'd love the Anthony Davis trade possibly as well. But they've won 8 of 10, but still the 5 seed. And I will agree with them that they don't have enough right now to get over the hump and even make the conference finals, that they have to make a big trade. And certainly, what good does Garland give you when he's always hurt? Not that Harden's got the great track record, but could he be a number two and a Robin to Mitchell? I mean, he can be Batman.
Explain to me why you would love the Anthony Davis possibility.
Well, another guy was injury prone, but I think that's a great fit as well. I mean, he's when he's in there, he puts up big numbers, and he could help him out. Because I certainly can't get there with this Allen Mobley combination either. But I think that'd be a good fit if they can get him on the cheap. And who knows what Dallas will want in return.
Tom Haberstroh earlier today tweeted out that there is a world that going into next offseason, the Cavaliers could get Giannis, LeBron James, and James Harden. He said they could have all three at the same time. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Will keep you obviously up to date with what's going to happen in the NBA today, 2 days before the deadline. More NFL props hitting the betting boards as well. Paulie, MVP bet 30-1. He'll expand on that coming up next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
By the way, when Bob Ryan joins the program coming up in 15 minutes, legendary sports writer, Boston Globe, I would assume the Jason Tatum story has done a full 360 now, because when that report came out, what was it, late last week, that probably not going to come back and play? Well, they traded for Vucevic today from the Bulls. Doesn't this mean that they would actually think that Tatum's going to play and they can make a run in the postseason? That's the way that I would look at it anyway.
I don't know. That's a tough call. It's up to him. And now it sounds like maybe he doesn't go. That's a tough decision.
I think today changed my mind on that.
Yeah. Well, they're always aggressive, too. And Stevens is incredible what he's done. And certainly most people expect him to be a play-in team. But they could pull this off based on how weak the East is right now as well. And maybe Saric gets traded for the third time in a week. That's something to keep an eye on. But certainly the odd man out in Chicago is White after they acquired Ivy today in that trade. Well, it's too bad with these injuries. And, you know, that's happened to Jackson, where it's just one key injury and it can knock these guys down and they're not the same player anymore. And that's unfortunate with Ivy, and it's unfortunate with Jackson, and he's making over $200 million. But a good move for the Jazz, though, as I believe.
All right, so you have a bet on Ramondre Stevenson to win the Super Bowl MVP at 30-1. He is, when you look at the overall targets on the team in the playoffs, third on the Patriots in catches during the playoffs. Over 2.5 catches in 5 out of 8 games, playoffs included. The Seahawks, most catches allowed to running backs in the regular season, any team in the NFL. How about snaps in the conference title game? He had 50. Henderson had 4.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Looking at Henderson's game log, he was so good in the win at home against Buffalo and had the long touchdown run. Then he got the concussion Sunday night in Baltimore. Then he was solid against the Jets, and he 80 yards, and he was good against Miami and had 2 touchdowns. And then it's been bad weather, and I don't know what happened in the AFC title game where he hardly got on the field. So if that continues, though, you have to like Stevenson props and also Stevenson to do damage. As you mentioned, he had led everyone in the Charger game with 75 yards receiving. He had 70 yards rushing in the Houston game and the Denver game with a plethora of touches and carries, And I throw out the receiving because the weather was horrible. Mm-hmm. But this is a guy who could put up 70 yards rushing, 80 yards rushing with a touchdown, and have 70 yards receiving and a touchdown, and maybe a little bit, not to the full extent, but maybe a little bit of that James White Super Bowl when he was awesome against Atlanta in the comeback one and was doing everything. Maybe I could get 70 yards rushing and receiving and two touchdowns out of Stevenson in a low-scoring game, and that can get there at 30-1 MVP.
How about anytime touchdown higher than plus 150 in the game? Right? I mean, if he had 50 snaps against Denver and Henderson played four, I guess that game was only 10-7, so, and if you're expecting low scoring here, you might not get into the end zone, but if they have cracks at it in the red zone and certainly, like, you know, closer to the goal line inside the five-yard line, he is going to be the guy you would think. I wonder, now, he's had a problem with fumbling in the past. What happens if he puts one on the ground right away in this game? Because it just feels like Vrabel has been so reluctant to go to Henderson throughout the entire year. Like, he had huge moments, obviously, and hell, the kid had a chance to win Offensive Rookie of the Year at one point, the way it felt. But if he's like, God, it's a Super Bowl, I can't believe he just fumbled, now I got to go to Travion here.
Yep. He wouldn't bench him, though, when he had his issues early on. He cost him the Pittsburgh game.
That's true.
But he's sticking with him, and I'm concerned that Henderson not getting enough touches and on the field, though, enough. But, again, we're only asking him to have one catch for 10 yards to go over, not even 5 yards to go over these props when the charts break down on how Seattle gives up a lot of passes to the backup running backs. Hello, Corum, last week.
Yeah, and here you go with that. Paul Charchian came in studio, our buddy, friend of the show, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. This was last week, and he provided an in-depth breakdown with great analysis and why he is big on Stevenson in this game.
Can we hit on Ramondre for a moment?
Yeah, of course.
Right. Time? Okay, so let's talk about Ramondre from a receiving standpoint. I want to hit him a couple of different ways. I think he's sitting on 3, 4, maybe 5 catches. Race to 2 receptions. So first player to 2 receptions for Ramondre Stevenson at DraftKings is plus 990. As I mentioned, Seattle allows the most running back receptions during the regular season. They're on the same pace in the playoffs. New England uses this rotation with Henderson. Stevenson, though, is the veteran here. First drive. It's distinctly possible on the first drive Stevenson's got 2 receptions. I mean, that is absolutely in the realm of possibility. But what if the Patriots don't start with the ball? Seattle does. We'll have to sweat Jackson Smith and Jigba, but really nobody else on Seattle is likely to get 2 receptions on the first drive. So even if it takes a couple of drives, there's a scenario here where Ramondre ends up sitting at 2 receptions faster than anybody else in this game at plus 990. That's pretty good value. Stevenson averages 19 routes per game since midseason, 20 routes per game in the playoffs. He's running enough routes where he could easily be the first player to 2 receptions, plus 990.
Okay, so we're going to attack them both this week again, like Kyren Williams and Blake Corum last week.
I think so, too. Can I drill down on Ramondre? Do we still have time?
Yeah, we've got plenty
of time. Let's keep going. Here we go. Longest reception for Ramondre Stevenson is 11.5 yards. We're going to take the over on the longest reception for Ramondre. Mitch, Pauly, the running back with the NFL's running back with the longest average distance of target is Ramondre Stevenson. So phrased another way, the Patriots throw farther downfield to Ramondre Stevenson than any team does to any running back.
Beautiful.
They throw downfield to Ramondre Stevenson. So we're talking about 11.5 yards for Ramondre. So I decided to look up what happens when the Patriots throw 12 air yards or more to Ramondre Stevenson. He's number one in the league in targets of 12 or more yards. He's number one in the league on receptions of passes of 12 air yards. And he's number one in yards gained on passes over 12 air yards. And regardless of the distance of the throw, Stevenson had 10 receptions of 12 or more yards this year. And that's, he missed a month of the season. And he still had 10 receptions of 12 or more yards. In theory, against the team that allows the most running back receptions, he's going to have a lot of opportunities to get to that over longest reception of 11.5 yards. Last thing I'll mention, just because I love looking up the stats. Among 56 NFL runners with at least 100 routes, Stevenson 5th in separation rate among running backs.
Beautiful.
Pretty good.
So he's always getting catches anyways, and now you're going against a team that allows the most, so he's making the case for everything there, and he's right. You know, and he led everyone in the Charger game. So if he's going to have 3 or 4 going back the last 7-8 games, what's he going to do against Seattle when they give it up for fun, right? Could be in store for a huge game just receiving. Great case. Great breakdown.
Yep. DraftKings moved his longest reception to 12.5. FanDuel's at 11.5 minus 130. BetMGM still 11.5 minus 110 on that. That's what I have bet. I have now more bets on the running backs in the air than anything else by a mile in this game. I have Henderson, Stevenson, and Walker all in pocket, but not on the ground, passing.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way,
dump it off to Helani too.
Yeah, I mentioned this briefly the other day on Travion Henderson. So I said like the rushing attempts prop was 9.5. That was an alt number. So he has gone over that number a bunch going back. I know it's been flushed out in the playoffs, not going over, especially against the Broncos. But I played over 9.5 at plus 750 on Henderson. Getting to 10 carries in the game. Although, again, he was in the doghouse the way it felt against Denver in that spot.
Well,
so I took a flyer on that one.
But he's also a home run hitter, too, and he can have a long run or a dump. I mean, he's plus, what is he? He's plus 525 to have 20 yards.
Man.
That's receiving. And then he's big tickets on rushing yards, too. I mean, the guy's like 7-1 to have 50 yards rushing. You're talking 8-9-1 for some of this other stuff, 20 yards, 30 yards.
Right.
It's peculiar.
Sure, it is. I guess when you look at the betting board again, it just, the market would tell you that he's barely going to get on the field. And this is going to be pretty much all Stevenson when it comes to the snaps,
the carries, the targets. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think last week was an outlier and a fluke. I think he'll be on the field a lot more. But certainly the case to be made for Stevenson right there. 30-1 MVP. The betting guide's out. Spectacular job by everyone. Mackinnon Super Bowl simulation, player prop projections, favorite prop bets, picks, best bets. Download the guide now, $19.99. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber and get the betting guide included, along with best bets from every host, every guest, and the betting splits, the AI-powered prop tools. Everything you need, one game, one edge. Finish football season strong. Head to VSiN.com/guide. It's out today, VSiN.com/guide.
JVT and I recorded the latest episode of Pod of the Futures, available now, last night, and he was at the Radio Row in San Francisco. He said the entire talk, the time, and this goes back to Sunday night and yesterday, was all about the Warriors and Giannis. Nobody was even talking about the Super Bowl. It was all about if Giannis is going to get traded, then does he go to Golden State? Up next.
They are a big deal there.
Yeah, the legend himself, Bob Ryan, on the program. We'll talk Eastern Conference hoops. Will we see Tatum again this year? Does Giannis get traded? And who does he have winning the Super Bowl coming up here on Follow the Money?
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Paulie, it's always a pleasure to talk to our first guest today, legendary sports writer from the Boston Globe, Bob Ryan, kind enough to join us for a couple of minutes here on a Tuesday, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. Good afternoon, Bob. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm just reeling from our local news here. That's all.
Okay. So, what is your gut reaction as the Celtics traded away Anthony Simons for Vucevic from the Chicago Bulls? Your thoughts on that deal, and does that mean that Tatum is probably going to come back and play this year then?
The big narrative had been Tatum, tracking Tatum, watching Tatum, listening to Tatum. It'd be quite clear that he wants to come back. He's had public workouts. He's not hiding anything. He certainly is making progress. He wants to come back. Okay, that was the big. So we were debating: is it worth it? All right, if he's going to come back with enough games left to A, shake off the rust, B, reintegrate yourself into these guys with this group, and also we renew your partnership with Brown, blah, 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 blah. Okay, what they did by trading for 35-year-old Nikola Vucevic was saying, hey, the East is available. We're in it. Look out. We're coming. We want to get involved in this. We think we got so we can really do something. And that would include, of course, Tatum coming back.
What did you expect going into this year? I mean, this is like found money, right? I think Missoula's done a great job, and Jaylen Brown's been awesome.
I can tell you what I said, and I said it publicly, and it's easy to traceable. I said, here's the deal. The span is 35 wins to 37 to 45 with the group they got. If they play, they'll win 37. If they play pretty damn well, they'll win 45. They're on their way to 50 and ish. And it's turned out to be significantly better than we ever dreamed. It's been a fun year. They're likable. Some nights, we all have this problem that they're so three reliant, and some nights they don't fall and they look terrible. And then other nights they're devastating and they're fun. And they've got some exciting young players. Jordan Walsh, he's a demon. And Hugo Gonzalez, I'm telling you, is special. He's 19 years old. He can make a three. I've done something that I've never done in 50 years of covering him and over 50. And that is, I'm mentioning someone in the same breath as Dave Cowens. With regard to how hard he plays, I have not seen a other Celtic at that size play as relentlessly hard as Hugo Gonzalez. Oh, anyway, they've been fun, and we've enjoyed them. But this is shaking things up. Believe me, this is really a significant move.
Who would worry you in the East? I mean, I'm with you. You have to go for this. That you're tied for first place, and the issues with the Knicks. Certainly Detroit's a good team, but other than Detroit, I think you have to love the position that the Celtics are in and how well they're playing.
Correct. And obviously they've answered that for us with this move. I mean, even if Tatum doesn't come back, there was special, but apparently he's going to. But even if he weren't, the thing is that Vucevic, there was talk about improving at the center spot. They've been getting surprisingly good production from Nemus Kreda and also Luka Garza. And they've been getting by, but clearly if Vucevic has a couple bullets left in the chamber. He's been around. It's 16 years, but he's a scorer. He can make threes and he can play. He knows how to play the game. And he is an upgrade. There's no doubt he's a quality upgrade at that position. He's experienced and been around. And I think he's going to probably be very excited once he finds out who he's playing with. And these young guys are fun. And Brown is a great player. I think he's going to love the atmosphere in Boston, et cetera. I'm not saying he needs a pickup, but I think he's going to get a pleasant surprise here.
What are you hearing, or how are you reading the tea leaves about a possible Giannis trade to any of these teams that are in the mix before the deadline on Thursday?
What are you going to give up? That's it. I mean, robbing Peter to pay Paul is always the issue with trading a superstar. I'm predicting that when we wake up Friday morning, he's still in Milwaukee. I don't know who's going to get it done. Now, the team that intrigues me at the moment, the Knicks, of course. But what are the Knicks going to do? They're going to give away a new Ananobi or Bridges, and they don't have draft picks. They gave them all up to get Bridges. So, and they're certainly not. We know that Brunson's untradeable, and I guess Cat. Yeah, all right. And they'll always have Robinson, and there's every other day basis. Maybe that's. But I think that. That would be. I think they'd be wrong to do it. I do. The team that intrigues me, though, is Minnesota. Now, I'm not sure exactly what they have to give, but he and Anthony Edwards together, that would be interesting. Anthony Edwards is. I'm a member of that fan club. I'll tell you right now.
Yep. Well said. So everything you said about the Celtics, I think you would say the same thing about the Patriots, right? How this was unexpected, and you come off a four-win season, and how likable they are, and how the fans bought in, and the place was rocking during the playoff games. It felt like the glory days.
It is. You can't believe that we're going through this a second time in this 21st century, because we went through all this 2001, and then into the 2002 Super Bowl, and it came from nowhere. We saw everybody knew about the schedule. It's all you heard all year. The schedule. It's statistically, it's one of the easiest schedules in over 30 or 40 years. That's a fact. That's documented. If you go about who they're playing and wins and losses, blah blah blah, they've taken full advantage of it. And the thing is, they've gotten better and better as time's gone on defensively. Look at the numbers that they're putting up defensively in these playoffs now. And May turns out to be a dream of draft pick. Help you both throwing and running. He's having not a great postseason throwing the ball, but he's strategically making huge runs that they need at the time. And maybe he's got one big passing game left in him. But he's a keeper and a coach, of course. Gerard Mayo, a wonderfully nice guy who was miscast. and they had the good sense to cut their loss and get Vrabel, and Vrabel has been ideal. Everything, he checks all those base boxes that you want, people are very, very excited, and I just saw, I think probably too excited, because I don't think enough people around here realize there's a damn good reason why they're not favored in this game. That's all. Mm-hmm. I mean, their winning would be, I think, a mild, not big, but a mild upset. Seattle deserves to be favored, but they deserve to be here. No one else, they got here very fair and square, and so we got people. Yeah, we're very excited about it.
Who do you like?
I like the Patriots, but my thing says it's, you know, Cinderella thing is not going to happen. Have to understand who you're talking with. I'm a negative thinker. I think it's much safer in life. A pessimist is an optimist with experience, and I think it's much safer to set the bar low and be pleasantly surprised than to set the bar high and be woefully, just discouraged or just disappointed. I can see Seattle. I can see that defense clamping down. I can see Darnold ending up his storybook season with one more big game. But I think it's going to be a really good game, it's almost a toss up. But I can understand why you would favor Seattle.
Are you disgusted with what happened with the Hall of Fame, with Kraft and Belichick?
Not disgusted. I'm amused.
Okay.
Very much so. Okay. We know what it's all about for the most part. And now in the case of Belichick, there is a possible other explanation that I have now come to accept, which is people knowing that if they don't vote for Cartwright, actually for Craig and Greenwood, they're off the ballot and they think they should be in. And that Belichick will always have more time. I'm not going to take up that valuable spot and vote for him as opposed to voting for them. Okay, I can see that makes some rational sense if you feel that way. Okay, the problem with this whole thing is that the system is awful. Mm-hmm. It's a stupid system. It's a ridiculously awful, stupid system. I don't know how they could. The smart. I mean, the way they do it is dumb. So there should be room for everybody. Now, as we know that no one of those 50 voters could look you or me or anyone else in the eye and say that Belichick's credentials don't merit him being in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So it's punishment for the most part. It's punishment for Spygate and Deflategate. Now, I don't know, we'll never know the ultimate effect of Spygate. We won't know. Okay. It happened to a degree. It wasn't good. Okay. But Deflategate, I'm telling you, is nonsense. BS crap.
Oh, yes.
It first of all, it was documented. It's easily documented that he threw the football better, than he did the impaired one.
Yes.
Much better.
Yes.
Okay. So end of story with that. So punishing them the way they did with the draft picks and the money, that was making Belichick and company, that's giving them 20 years to life for jaywalking, if they even jaywalked. And so that is exactly what it is. And so Deflategate is nonsense. Okay, Belichick. Okay, you understand the enmity, but Kraft. Oh boy, no owner in this league deserves to be in the Hall of Fame right now more than Bob Kraft. Bob Kraft has made money for the other 31, This is punishing the Patriots for all their transgressions, real or imagined, over the last 25 years.
Well said, sir.
You're the best. We love talking to you. Thank you. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Appreciate you.
Win, lose, next. The runs are really taking off in hockey. 16-2, 17-2, and now make it 10 in a row. Paulie, details next.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Paulie Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
All right, Win Some. Bob Ryan. Fantastic one-liners, and he was just getting started on Kraft, too. Phenomenal job. Goal in the first 10 last night, 8-2 in hockey. Wild. Over again. 17-2 overrun for the game. 10 straight overs in the first period. Sabres, 16-2 run, goal in the first 10. Getting juicy now, Junior. Good stuff. Memphis in the NBA, 2-1. Nice win over the T-Wolves. Tennessee Tech, plus 260. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in, we'll put you on. Send it to me, Luke. This guy with his doggy field trip, excited to get on the bus. He's got his bag, tail wagon. All his friends are sitting there. Little snack. Everyone's buckled in. Looking out, got his toys. Looking out the window. His whole group of friends. And then once you get dropped off at the location, a pup cup, and then you get to run in the grass and hang around and play all day. That's a full day. That's a fun day. Friendship, treat, toys, little relaxation, and then you unleash hell and get to play all day in a spacious backyard.
They get their exercise, they come back, they're worn out, ready for bed.
Boy, that's good.
It's a win-win for everybody.
It's like that one in Vermont, the place in Vermont you can drink wine and hang with the Golden Retrievers all day with that backyard that they have. That's awesome. What am I walking into here with the Bulldog? Bulldog, oh yeah, put him in the sink. That's right, getting a bath right in the sink. We're getting clean, fits right in there. A piece of cake. Look at that, washing him up, feeling good. He doesn't know what to make of it, though, the look on his face. But am I really in the sink here? I can't. There's got to be a better way and a better spot. Yeah, that's awesome. That's a final. For the 9th match in a row, Sheffield Wednesday shutout. You bet win to nil. You've won 9 in a row. They lost 1-0 to Blackburn. Sheffield Wednesday at the bottom of the table in the England Championship League. Ownership issues, they're negative 7 in points, dock points, penalties. Several people we talked to said they won't win another match the rest of the season. Not only 9 losses in a row, how about shut out 9 in a row? Incredible. That just went final. Their next match is Sunday at home. Fantasy football punishments. This is good. A viewer sent this in. I suck at fantasy football. He had to go out in 20-degree weather, 20 below. 20 below with a lemonade stand, and he couldn't leave, I think, till he made $50. He's got it out there as his punishment. That's creative. That's good. Didn't win. There's the record. I stink. Lemonade stand, 20 below. You got to make $50 before you can leave.
He went 0-14?
That's hard to believe.
Did he forget that he had the team?
No kidding. How bad was the draft?
Yeah.
You think you'd luck into one win, right?
I know several people who forgot they were actually in a league after the draft. They made the title game.
Oh, stop.
That's how random fantasy football can be.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
And this is right up your alley. No haircuts. Keep it going. This is the Man U fan. He's not cutting his hair until they win 5 in a row. Well, it's getting interesting now. They've won 3. So keep growing it out. Maybe he gets to finally cut his hair. I think they're favored in their next 2 matches.
Damn. How long has he been growing this thing?
485, does that say, Luke? 485 days without a haircut. Man U's got to win 5 in a row.
What do you think of the look overall?
It's got the
Can I get there
on.
If I keep going?
Yeah, you can get there. I don't know, but that looks like a wig at this point.
No kidding.
But that's impressive. Come on. Bat for the books. North Carolina, 9.5 up to 11. They won by 10. What happened? Several viewers said, I don't know what I just watched. Carolina was up 20 late, and they won by 10.
They were up 30 in the second, midway through the second half.
I can't believe it.
How do you not cover that game?
Yep.
More than 30, and people were tweeting us right as the game ended, like, we need an investigation here.
Yeah. Totally imploded down the stretch. 30 in the second half, up 20 with 8 minutes, I think, 7 minutes. How about Texas Tech? They're up 9 with 5 minutes. They scored 2 points the rest of the game.
Well, how about one of their best players, Anderson, all of a sudden 15 minutes before tip can't play?
Huh.
They got to as high as a 5.5-point favorite at some spots.
Maple Leafs Flames, first period over. Goal, 30 seconds in. Bubkis the rest of the way. Red Wings, Avalanche, first period over. Goal, 30 seconds in. Bubkis the rest of the way. And for another blown lead for the second day in a row, someone blew a 5-1 lead. The Blues led 5-1 and lost to Nashville. Probably 30-40-1 in play again after what Tampa Bay did. For the line move, sharp plays already there. Super Bowl's the biggest betting event of the year. Limits peak. Every half point matters. Powered by advanced AI, proven insider sources. Jeff and the crew been at it since 2011. Free reports, alerts, transparent results since 2011. Stay ahead of the line this Super Bowl. Give them a follow and join now. SharpPlays.com. Get all your Super Bowl info, soccer tweets and info, tennis as well. They have you covered, wall-to-wall action, alerts directly from the pros, sharpplays.com.
Boy, I'll tell you, if you bet North Carolina last night and you were watching the game, you probably poured yourself a cocktail because they were up by 31 with 7:30 to play.
Oh, no.
And they could not cover.
What? I didn't go that far, but that's crazy.
You got to be kidding me.
How does that happen?
They won by 10, 87, 77, and they're up 76, 45. With 7:30 to play? That's a joke.
Wow. What a meltdown. What a meltdown.
How about the shots? Yeah, how about the shots by Peterson in the end of that game for Kansas last night? Hits both threes to tie the game and then hits the game winner. Played 35 minutes in that game last night. Texas Tech had an off night, but again, you take a guy out of the lineup who averages 20 a game. That affects everybody. And they blew that one, though, too. They were up seven late in that game.
Well, a nice job, too, by Stephen F. Austin. They had a big lead. They were up 14 in the second half, and McNeese took the lead. That would have, this is going to be an all-timer, I thought. They led for the first 35 minutes of the game.
Yeah, they jumped on him early.
And then McNeese took the lead finally, but Stephen F. Austin won by seven. That was a nice win for
you. Nice call by you. You also, Portland State got home.
Yeah, they blew them out.
Yeah, killed them last night.
Good win by the Vikings.
Yeah. Portland State, am I mixing them up, or are both teams two of the best teams in the country covering numbers?
You are correct.
Okay.
Portland State's number one. Austin's like number three. And then Denver's the top over team. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing, too, I don't mind this move for Detroit. Detroit needed shooters, and they get Herter. And I don't know what's going to happen with Saric. But if I have Herter and Saric as shooters, that's some much-needed threes and some guys that can help on the perimeter for the Pistons.
No, I don't mind that at all. As someone, we're both holding the Pistons at big numbers to win their division. So we need to like hold off the Cavaliers. By the way, always shop around. That's, should be commonplace at this point. But I noticed one spot still had the Cavaliers 11-1 to win their division last night. Other spots were as low as 6-1. I looked because after the hard news came out, I'm like, is it time to maybe take a piece of Cleveland because that's the only other team that can win the division? And I saw the 11. I pondered it, but I did not bet it because it was a good night, two nights ago? Do I have that right? I'm thinking where they lost and the Pistons won a game. So they opened it up there a little bit by another game. So
Celtics are down to 15-1 to win it all at DraftKings with the trade. And connecting the dots, you and Bob agree. You trade for a 35-year-old center, it means Tatum's coming back at some point.
So they get the Mavericks tonight. What do you want to do with Cooper Flagg? He has played maybe two of his best games of his rookie season here in the last two games, and his PRA tonight, as a result, is up to like mid-30s now in the game. But back-to-back games, he had the 49 when they played Knipple and the Hornets, and then he came back and he had 34 and more than 10 boards in the next game as well. He's been on a heater, man. Dallas are 7-point dogs at home in this game. They're higher than 2-1 on the money line with the way that he's been playing. You take Simons out, he's not going to be there. Want the 7 here with Dallas?
I do not, no.
I'll tell you, there's one game that I bet earlier today.
Because I'm sorry, but they're making trades too. So they could shop. If it's not Davis, Clay Thompson's going to be gone. They're going to trade some other guys. As far as that game, Thompson is on a 7-0 under run with his points. And it's something you can attack with the props there. And I could only look Flag over points 21.5. And we know how well our buddy Marshall's been playing too.
I got a handful of bets tonight in the NBA. One of which would be, I have Suns on the money line, -130. And Avdija is out now for Portland. He's not playing in the game. He was doubtful. So all the signs were there that he wasn't going to play. I'm like, that's cheap. They were two. So I laid the 130 on the money line. I also played Dylan Brooks over. I actually played 25-plus points at +154 his last five games. He had 22 his last game up, but before that, 27, 40, 26, and 26. The kid's been the best year of his career. So I have those bets in pocket and some other player props I'll tell you about a little bit later on as well. Up next, how excited are you for this?
Can't wait. He's got a big story to tell. It's all about a $900,000 jackpot.
Yeah, that he fell asleep over. professional gambler Frank B. Full hour coming up. We'll discuss betting fringe players in the big game as opposed to the stars and common Super Bowl betting mistakes next.